All right, brethren, let's turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Let's read verses 1 through 5. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? That's our subject this morning, the hearing of faith. He says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Now we've been studying in Ephesians the importance of speaking the truth in love. And that's what the Apostle Paul is doing here to these Galatians. He's speaking the truth in love. Paul wrote that word in Ephesians, saying it's important to speak the truth in love. And he's the one here writing this to the Galatians. And this is what he's doing. He's speaking the truth in love. The apostle did what Christ's faithful ambassadors do. He spoke the truth in love. Now, it was how the Galatian believers had been born again by the Holy Spirit and given faith. In the beginning, it was by Paul speaking the truth in love. That's how they were born again of the Spirit and given faith to believe. Through the hearing of faith. Paul had been used of God to preach the gospel of the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the hearing of faith is. It's the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearing about His person, hearing about His works. That's the hearing of faith. And he said here, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. That's what true gospel preaching is. This word evidently is the word, the Greek word is the word from which we get our word graphically. And that's what the preaching of the gospel is. It's to preach Christ in such clear plainness of speech that your hearers cannot possibly mistake what you're saying. It's to preach Christ so clearly, so evidently, so graphically, so that it's like Christ is being crucified right before your eyes, right in your midst. That's what it is to preach the gospel of Christ, plainly, to preach it plainly. And then by hearing the faithfulness of Christ, by hearing what Christ had accomplished, Christ sent the Holy Spirit to them. And the Holy Spirit entered in and gave them life and gave many of them faith to believe on Christ. And God imputed the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. They were made righteous by what He had done. And so Paul now is continuing to speak the truth in love to them. He says here, he teaches them, he does it by telling them they're being bewitched. He says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That's not an easy message to preach. That's not something that's easy to say to somebody. You're being bewitched. But it's the truth, and he had to speak it. So he spoke the truth in love. It means they were fascinated by false representations. By false representations, men will fascinate their hearers. And here's what they were doing. They were telling the men, and this is what men do. They say that in addition to faith in Christ, they must now mortify the sinful deeds of their flesh and become more moral in their flesh by keeping the law. You ever heard that message? It's what 99% of the people that preach. You got to become more moral and you got to become more mortified in the deeds of your flesh, by you keeping the law. And that fascinated the fleshly man. That appeals to the fleshly man. That appeals to our flesh, brethren. That message does. And this was a totally different message than what Paul had preached to them in the beginning. It was a completely different message than what Paul had preached in the beginning. Paul preached the hearing of faith. He preached the works of Christ. He preached the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, urging sinners to faith in Christ, to believe in Christ, to look to Christ for righteousness in justification and for righteousness in sanctification. That was his message. Look to Christ for righteousness in being justified and righteousness in being sanctified. Christ is righteousness and sanctification. And these men preached the hearing of works. They would come and they wouldn't, what they said was not false in the fact that they were saying, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. These things that they were saying were good. They're nice things if you could do them. But that message won't mortify the flesh. And it will not make the flesh more moral. What it does is it inflames the flesh to think, I can do this. I can do this myself. I can obtain righteousness, make myself more righteous in sanctification by what I do. And so they never heard Christ preach. They were always hearing, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. They weren't hearing Christ, the faithfulness of Christ declared. And Paul spoke the truth in love. And he not only told them that they were being bewitched by this message, he told them what this message does. Look there, he says that you should not obey the truth. That you should not obey the truth. This is what that message of the hearing of works does. It makes men turn back to the law, turn back to themselves, and they cease obeying the truth. Paul didn't say that such falsehood is just error in certain points of doctrine. He didn't call it that. No, look back at Galatians 1:6. This is what he said about it. I marvel that you're so soon removed, from Christ that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you. That's what he said this message is. And it's a perversion of the gospel of Christ. He wasn't like some in our day who say, now you need to embrace those who are different in their doctrine because we love one another. This was true love right here. This is what he said in verse 8. Though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. And he said it again. Let him be accursed, Paul said. That's speaking the truth in love. And then later on over in Galatians 5:12, he went so far as to say, I would that they were even cut off. Well, Paul's in his flesh. No, Paul's speaking by the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God's Word. That's God's Word. God the Holy Spirit's Word. Now, when you find such strong words in the inspired Word of God, that tells you and I, brethren, that this doctrine, all false doctrine, is to be avoided above all cost. Now, we see in Galatia, he went on to tell them what will happen when you cease obeying the truth, when you cease looking to Christ alone, and you begin to focus on you and your law-keeping, and hearing these works of the law preached. He says, this is what will happen. Galatians 5:15. By taking their affection off Christ, they began to examine each other rather than keeping their affection on Christ. And when they began to examine each other, they began to find fault with one another, and they began to accuse one another. And here's what they bit and devoured one another. Look at Galatians 5:15. He said, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. He said, you're going to bite and devour one another. You're going to nitpick one another. You're going to pick faults one another. To this thing just going to be split wide open, and there won't even be a gospel here at all. But look what the cure was. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Focus your affection on Christ rather than one another, and you won't be fulfilling these lusts. That's what he said. Now that's the result when sinners take their eye off Christ and look to one another and hear this work of the law preached. So, now let's go back to Galatians 3. Paul preached the hearing of faith. And now these men were hearing the works of the law. Now these are the two messages. Some of you say, well, when I go and hear Clay preach, all he preaches is God's doing, Christ's works. He preaches what God the Father does, what Christ the Son does, what God the Holy Spirit does. That's the hearing of faith, the faithfulness of our God. And other men, you go, and all they preach is they preach what you should do, and they preach what you must be doing. That's works of the law. That's the hearing of works. Now, you had these two messages being preached, so Paul asked a question. Galatians 3:2. This only would I learn of you, received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He says, now how'd you begin? How were you born again? How were you given faith to believe? How did this thing start? Was it through hearing about the faithfulness of Christ, or was it by hearing the message these men are preaching? The works of the law. And they had to answer, those that were born again, it was by the hearing of faith. It was by the hearing of the faithfulness of Christ. And Paul answers the questions a few verses later. Look at verse 6. He says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He said, you believe, you began the same way Abraham did. How did he begin? Look at verse 8. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. The reason you don't read in the Old Testament Scriptures of a man going and preaching to Abraham is not that a man wasn't sent to preach the gospel to Abraham. It's that is a New Testament glorification of Christ to send forth his preacher. So the emphasis wasn't put on that then. The emphasis was put on strictly the message that he was told. But there was somebody sent to Abraham with a message. And the message that Abraham heard preached was, through your children's children's children, way down the line, Christ is going to be born. And that Savior that's going to be born is going to work out a righteousness for his people and justify his people and put away all their sins by his works. And then he's going to give faith to his people. He's going to give life to his people and faith to his people and forgive us of all our sins so that all his elect in every nation is going to be blessed by this one that's coming through you, Abraham. And Abraham, as he heard that message, God sent the Holy Spirit to him and gave him life and faith, and he believed God. He believed God. He believed God by the same means and the same way that you and I believe God. You must be born again. That's not just in the New Testament, that's in the Old Testament. You must be born again by the Holy Spirit. And he was born again through this message of the faithfulness of Christ. And God imputed the righteousness of Christ to him. Now, Abraham couldn't have heard the law preached. He couldn't have heard the hearing of works preached. Because, as verse 17 tells us, Galatians 3:17 says, the law wasn't given until 430 years later. The law of Mount Sinai was not given until 430 years later. Now that's a strong argument to us, brethren, that the message to preach is the hearing of the faithfulness of Christ. Because Moses didn't even have the law. And God saved him by giving him faith through this message. And sanctified him. Made him righteous in sanctification, the same as he did in justification. Now, it was the same message that Abraham heard, the hearing of the faithfulness of Christ, by which these Galatians began in the faith. The same way, by the same message. And so Paul asked these questions. Verse 3. He says, Galatians 3:3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, having begun hearing the works of the faithfulness of Christ through the Spirit of God, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Are you going to be grown now in sanctification, in grace, by hearing the works of the law preached? By going back to the law and to your works of your deeds in the law? Verse 5. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, that is Christ, who ministers the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law? or by the hearing of faith? Is he doing it through this message of works or through the message that declares his own faithfulness? So, since sinners are not being regenerated by the works of the law, since sinners are being regenerated by the hearing of faith and not the hearing of the works of the law, by the Holy Spirit, not by their own flesh, by God sending forth the Spirit through this message that exalts Christ, not through the message that exalts man and points man to himself, then, brethren, how are you going to be grown in grace? Through the same message. Through the same message that declares Christ, through the same message that gives Him the glory, through the same message that declares the works that He's doing. Now, I want to set Christ before you graphically. I want to set Him before you graphically, evidently. And I want you who believe to see. You're gonna see that as I preach Christ to you here, I'm gonna preach the faithfulness of Christ to you. And you tell me as you hear this message, if it does not strengthen your inner man and mortify your flesh. Tell me if that doesn't take place. Tell me if your inner man is not edified and the old man mortified when you hear this message. This is the message that does it right here. Turn over to Colossians 2. Turn to your right there. Colossians 2. The same thing that happened in Galatia, Paul was warning the church at Colossae to beware of. Again, reading in verse 4, Colossians 2, 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. That's what that bewitching is, to be beguiled with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I'm with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. These folks were looking to Christ. He said, as you've therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, how? Through the hearing of faith. He says, so walk you in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men. This is what men preach. The men preach the hearing of works. The flesh likes that message. That's the tradition of men. He says, after the rudiments of the world. Rudiments here means after the law. After the law. The hearing of works. He said, and not after Christ. Now beware of that, he said, for in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, here's how we became complete. Here's the hearing of the faith of Christ. First of all, by the faithfulness of Christ, He put off the old man of sin. Our old man of sin. The old man of sin for the elect of God. He put off our old man of sin. Read verse 11. He says, in Christ you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism. For God's elect, Christ put off our body of sins. He put off our old man of flesh when He took our sins and He died under the justice of God on the cross. Christ did that. Old Testament circumcision typified the cutting away of the old, polluted, defiled, corrupt flesh. That's what it typified. It's a work done in the heart, and it's a work done on the cross. We're talking here about the aspect of being done on the cross by Christ. Christ did this work. Christ did this. It says, without hands. This is the circumcision without my hands and your hands, without us doing the work. Christ did this work. The text says, when He took our place and He satisfied justice, the old man of sins was put off. It was put off of us completely. That old man of sin was destroyed. And the old man of flesh, listen, that's who does the sinning in us, brethren. It's the old man of flesh who does the sinning. But that old man of flesh, he's saying here, is crucified. He's dead. He's buried before the knowing eye of our God. Look at there. He says, He's baptized. You buried with Him in baptism. Baptism spoken here is the baptism that Christ was baptized with when he was immersed in the judgment of God. When you're baptized, baptized means immersion. He was immersed in the judgment of God, engulfed in the judgment of God, just like going under the water. And then his lifeless body was taken and buried completely in a tomb, like you bury a dead man. And he's telling us, when Christ was immersed in the judgment of God, your old man was crucified. And when Christ was buried in that tomb, our old man was buried. And so now, before the all-seeing eye of God, he's saying, your old man has been crucified, he's dead, and he's buried. He's buried. You see, water baptism has nothing to do with circumcision. Men took Old Testament circumcision, and so on the eighth day, they'll sprinkle a baby, and they call that baptism, because they say baptism is the New Testament form of circumcision. No, it's not. The two are totally different. One pictures the putting off of the old man of flesh, circumcision. Baptism pictures the death and the burial of that old man. They're two totally different things. We don't circumcise anymore, because that was an Old Testament part of the Old Testament covenant. Now, we do baptize, though, because that pictures our death and our burial. That's one of the things it pictures. Now, when you hear this, and you hear that your old man that sins, that old man that causes you the trouble, that old man that you're either looking to mortify, or you're looking to him to try to be more moral, when you hear that God, before God, that man don't even exist anymore, don't that thrill you? Don't that edify your inward man and make you think, I just need to regard the old man as like God does, dead, because he is. Before God, he is. And that's the message that's going to cause a man to serve God. Let's go to Romans 6. Let me show you that real quick. Romans 6. Look here. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now get what he's saying there, brethren. He's not just saying you ought not to. Can a dead man live in sin? No. And he's saying there, you're really dead before God. And therefore, before God, you can't continue in sin. You can't. Your old man's gone. Watch it. Know you not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Don't you know what we were picturing by water baptism was that what Christ accomplished by his death? What did he accomplish? We're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You know what's going to make you not serve sin? This message. This message. This is why he did it. So that you don't serve sin anymore. Serve sin by trying to mortify the deeds of your flesh, or serve sin by trying to live a more moral life. Both of them are serving sins. When you're doing it in your flesh, by your works, by your strength, by the keeping of the law. Both of those are the lust of the flesh. To live immorally or to live holy in the flesh, by the deeds of the law, is nothing but dead, dirty, God-forsaken flesh. But this message says, verse 7, he that's dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we'll also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, count it so yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Look, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. The first part there, when he said, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. The first thing he's saying there is, don't think you're going to be made holy by your flesh. Neither give in to the sins of your flesh. But this message is the only thing that does it. Yield yourselves unto God. Look to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, you're under grace. You see that? You're not going to be accused. Now, secondly, by the faithfulness of Christ, our new man was raised when Christ was raised. That's what he was talking about there when he said you're raised with him. Now, go back to Colossians 2:12. We're buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. Now, get what that says. That's not the new birth. That's not you being regenerated. That's not what we're talking about. He's saying, just like our old man died when Christ died, our new man was born and rose to the right hand of the Father and sat down with the Father when Christ came out of the grave and rose and sat down with the Father. Now, brethren, you think about that. Before you and I were born the first time from our mother's womb, we were already born before God seated at His right hand in Christ. Before we were ever even born again by the Holy Spirit, we were already born seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. Our new man. The old man nowhere to be seen anymore. Just the new man. Just the new man. So there's no possibility at all that God would not send the gospel to you and give you regeneration and make you to see what Christ has done for you, because your new man is seated with God in Christ at His right hand. And this is why He did that. Listen, Ephesians 2:5 says, when we were dead in sin, when me and you were dead, He quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And He raised us up together. And He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That, for this purpose, that in the ages to come, He might show. He might come to you and regenerate you and give you life and faith in Christ and show you the exceeding riches of His grace in Christ Jesus. That's why He did it. So, there's no possibility. Now, this is the hearing of faith. This is the hearing that I've been risen again as a new man by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that I'm no longer to regard my old man of flesh at all. This is what makes me not want to continue in sin, not the hearing of the works of the law, the hearing of the faith of Christ. This is what Paul, why he said there in Colossians 3:1, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. What message is going to make me focus my affection on Christ? Me saying, now you do this, you don't do that. You do this, you don't do this. Or me preaching Christ. It's okay to tell somebody, don't do this and don't do that. But you've got to preach Christ to them. You've got to show them Christ and show them they have not done it for righteousness. Christ is the only one that's done it for righteousness. And then show them now the only way you're going to do it is through Him working in you through love, making you rejoice in Him and want to follow Him. And then you're not going to do it perfectly. You see? Now, thirdly, by the faithfulness of Christ, He sent the gospel and the Holy Spirit to you who believe and quickened us to life through this very truth. Verse 13, Colossians 2:13. You being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Now we're talking about us in our flesh. Hath He quickened together with Him. We were dead in sins and our old man was dead and he's still dead. But Christ came and quickened us together with Him. Christ came and entered in spirit through the gospel and became the life within us. So that now we have life in our inner man. Now there's a new man within us, and we're one in Christ, and Christ is in us. We're one in Him. One. He in us, and we in Him. And look, and through faith, when He did this, He gave you faith. People will say, well, I was regenerated, and then 10 years later, I was converted and believed. That is hogwash. That is the biggest bunch of buffoonery I ever heard. Because when Christ, the faithful one, enters in you, when Christ, the life, enters in you, guess what you're going to have? Faith and life. You're going to believe. When you were born, the first time of your mother's womb. Were you born? I was born then, but it took a few years before I lived. No, you were alive. You know who your mom and your daddy was right then. And he revealed this to us through faith, verse 13, that he has forgiven you all trespasses. All means past, present, and future. All of them. All our trespasses. The old man's dead. The wages of sin has been paid to justice by Christ. Therefore, all our sins are forgiven. That's what he reveals to you. And then look, and he reveals that the law no longer has anything to say to us. This is what those men hate. Those men that want to preach the hearing of work, this is what they hate right here. They're going to say, but now, they're going to put some stipulation on this. Hear what God said. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. That word means the dogma. That means the whole law of God that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. He did not do away with the law. No, Christ fulfilled the law. He fulfilled it in perfect righteousness for His people. So then, it's established for everybody who believes. We don't make void the law through faith. The doctrine of faith doesn't tell you the law is void. The doctrine of faith teaches the law is established fully, righteously, in holiness by Christ, and we establish it through faith in Him. And so then Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. The law is not the message that's going to make you moral and make you want to live right. This message is. This is how you began in the faith. This is how you're going to grow in the faith. You're not under the law. Now, Christ did all of this work on the cross and within His people, both on the cross and within His people, stealing His people, spoiling His people from the devil that had us captive. Look at verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, doesn't the message of the hearing of faith, doesn't it make you old man? Is he just dead? And it makes the new man alive. And this is the message whereby he grows us. Now lastly, Paul says, therefore, don't let any man bring you back under the law for any reason. Sanctification is the reason they're going to use. Don't let them do it. You'll be grown in grace the same way you began in grace by the hearing of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ Himself. And it'll be by the faithfulness of Christ. You'll hear the faithfulness of Christ preached, and Christ will come and do in your heart exactly what you're hearing preached as you hear it preached. Look at verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath. They are a shadow of things to come. The body is Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he's not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. It means don't tolerate people who want to rule over you by ordering you to bow and scrape before the law. Don't tolerate it. Don't listen to men insisting that you join their obsession with angels and that you seek out visions and all these different things. That's a lot of hot air, and that's all it is. Verse 19. They do not hold the head from which all the body, by joints and bands, have nourishment ministered and knit together, increase with the increase of God. They're completely out of touch with the source of life. They don't know Christ is the life. He puts us together in one body, in His body, and His very breath and blood flow through into us through the Holy Spirit, and He's the head, and we're the body, and we're going to grow up healthy in God only as Christ nourishes us. And the food He's going to nourish us with is the gospel of Him and His faithfulness. The old man's mortified one way. It's by the faithfulness of Christ who grows us through the hearing of the faithful works of Christ. Paul said, look back at Galatians 2. I'll end with this. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. There's my old man. He's gone. Nevertheless, I live. There's my new man. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, Here's my sanctification. Here's my holy life. The life I now live in the flesh, in this old dead body. The new me is in this old dead body. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I don't frustrate the grace of God, he says, for if righteousness come by the law, that's righteousness in justification or righteousness in sanctification. If righteousness in any way comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You see that? You see that? All right, so remember, the old man of flesh that would have us to turn from Christ to ourselves, be it to mortify the evil deeds of our flesh, to make our flesh more outwardly moral, that old man is dead. He's dead. And if we turn and start obeying him and looking to the law and looking to our works, we're going to cease obeying the truth. The truth is Christ. Put off that old man and put on the new man by obeying the truth. And the truth, Christ, he effectually commands us in the inner man to look to rest in Christ alone to make us do the work. And that's how we'll be grown. Amen. Let's stand together, brethren.